This is Coda Radio, episode 597 for November 26, 2024. Hey friend, welcome in to Jupiter Broadcasting's weekly talk show, taking a pragmatic look at the art and the business of software development and the world of technology. My name is Chris, and joining us over there, sharpening his knife, it's our host, Mr. Dominic. Hey, Mike.
Chris, it is your old friend, Henry Kissinger.
That's a pretty good Kissinger. All right, hey.
I am here to tell you I have a solution to podcasting ad problem.
What is a big kiss?
We nuke all other podcast network.
Oh, that! Why didn't I think of that?
Because then they would fear you.
Hold on, let me dust off your Nobel Peace Prize.
Oh! I keep forgetting. I mean, when I say nuke, I mean
spread democracy.
Radioactive yellow cake uranium as gift.
You know, I would really appreciate. Thank you.
It is important that I tell you. That
make sure it's not connected to me.
My experience as a child. In Nazi Germany, where my family had to flee with the help of relatives in the United States, had no effect on me.
No.
There's no effect. I do not emulate their tactics. I
think you're blurring Kissinger and Soros. I don't know.
Oh, that's you. That's you, InfoWars. You go on. That's all you.
I came with good news today, and that is that you can now get into MIT for free if your family makes less than $200,000.
Yeah, it seems. I tried to find what the dark side loophole was. I couldn't.
Yeah, no. They had a threshold before. They're making it more approachable. I'm not sure. It was up from, I don't know. Maybe they've upped the threshold, but I don't know. But either way, it's an interesting trend to see happening. They call it the a family financial aid program. It's one of 9 colleges that are doing this. And the University of Texas just announced they're expanding their free tuition to undergraduate families that make less than $100,000 or less.
The whole thing that they need more money was brought to us by the letter bull. Thank you, Elma.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Oh, I do know. Come on, man. Universities used to run with the dean of each department, a couple of administrators, and bums your uncle, we're done here. Now it's the inverse pyramid. You have administrators and basically, the professors are 1099 adjuncts for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, does this not sound wrong?
I mean, don't you keep the good times rolling by keeping prices high and then letting people in for free so that way you don't get a bad image and get bad press, and that way the money and fees can stay high?
Of course I agree, Chris, but Mike does not agree. He is such a socialist. Now, let's just, in a hypothetical world, say you're a rich guy.
Uh-huh.
Who legally lives in Florida for tax reasons.
I love all this so far.
You host a podcast that is apparently about tech, but seems to be a lot about chilling for the Democratic Party. I don't know.
Now, which podcast am I doing now all of a sudden?
It's not you.
But I'm trying to fantasize. I like
you
the
gotta
rich
get
part.
You got to get that. Okay. Well, you have to chill for the Dems to be rich, first of all.
Okay.
Ben Shapiro, not that rich.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right.
Sorry, Ben. Also, let's be honest. You know, I got in trouble in school for fights. I would have kicked at a Ben Shapiro all the time.
You know, I feel like you make this sound like it'd be a hard thing, but I got to tell you, man.
No, I have a bad heart. I go for him because he's easy.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I think so.
He'd probably start reading the Torah to me or something. I don't know.
Right? He may try to just talk you down with his very fast talking. That is possible.
He might make me dizzy.
Yeah.
It's possible.
All right. So I'm in Florida. I'm rich and I don't pay taxes.
But now you live in London, kind of, because you feel something Trump, bad vibes.
Oh, God, you're spicy today. I love it.
Also, your business partner kind of requires you to moderate your positions to be more liberal. Oh, and your business partner has shows on CNN now and has all of us blocked.
You know, for a guy that just won a sweepstakes, you're awfully spicy this morning.
I am pretty pissy. For a guy who won a car, I'm pretty.
Mike tells me in the chat, yeah, I got to go pick up a new car. I won it in a sweepstakes. I'm like, excuse me? Who actually wins a car like that?
The Catholic Church, man. My kid brother goes to Catholic school. I put $50 down on a raffle ticket and I won a Chevy. So
well, that's awfully nice of you.
And the IRS agent listening to the show was like, great. I can't wait to that.
Yeah, you know they subscribe. You know they do.
Oh, well, that's okay because Trump will be president and that'll be doged away.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, so you're in London.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, It's weird how the people you hate are also the people you don't want to invest in. Like, okay, I know this is not on your list, but sometimes, so fun fact, sometimes I just mess with Chris. Have you noticed the weird all-at-once migration to Blue Sky?
Yeah, Blue Sky's blowing up.
But like all at the same time.
I thought it was because of like the election or something and people were...
Is that what it is?
I think so.
Like people... So the platform became better...
Well, because... okay. I mean, think about it. If you're not a big fan of Trump and Trump's team, well, who's on Trump's team? Elon. And who runs X? Elon.
So who's not a fan of like actually advancing space technology and electric cars?
Elon's a complicated subject. That's for sure. You know,
well, every other tech show is now the Elon hate show. I don't want to. And there's lots of things not to like about him. For instance, his desire to repopulate humanity by himself with his father's help. Weirdly.
That is weird.
Yeah. I don't know. We should go on. But
he's also like one of the number one Diablo players in the world. Did you know that?
I thought that was bullshit, though.
No. It turns out it might be in like one particular ranking. But yeah, it turns out it's true. In fact, he just was in fourth place and now he's in first place. It's weird. I don't know how he does it. I don't have time
Diablo's
to play video
grindy
games.
As shit too. That's...
What am I doing wrong? I wish I had time to play video games.
I think you don't do ketamine.
Oh, you're right.
Ketamine may be the answer here.
I do go to bed. That is true.
Yeah. So anyway, speaking of going to bed, how about Google search and OpenAI?
You know, let's say first, just because I want to cook right off the beginning, I worked up at the last minute. You know, this is what I love about being a small business. At the last minute, I was like, I'm going to have a Black Friday sale. You know what I mean? And you can just do it. I don't have to have a meeting. I don't have to call anybody. I don't have to get a department working on it first. I just decide, I wake up, and I say, I'm going to have a Black Friday sale. And so if you use the promo code Black Friday, you can take 30% off the lifetime of your membership. Monthly membership, annual membership. It's our best deal ever. It also applies to membership upgrades. Like if you want to go from the single show to the Jupiter party, or if you want to reactivate your membership. The real pro stack, if you really want to set it on automatic, the annual membership, you already get 1 month for free. And now you can stack the 30% off on top of that. So the annual membership's a steal with the Black Friday sale. Just use the promo code Black Friday. I'll have a link to the annual membership and the regular Coder QA membership in the show notes.
What kind of fool wouldn't take that deal?
I know, especially now that we're doing like the full live stream and you get the clips and the music in the morning and all that too. And all of Mike's cussing. I'm kidding.
Fair enough.
I'm kidding. I just want to run this past you before we don't have to cover this. I'm going to put this out there because I think it's probably true. We have a new term called ghost engineers. 9.5% of software engineers that do virtually nothing in corporate America.
I think this is actually bull.
Stanford studied 50,000 software engineers across hundreds of companies and found that approximately 9.5 engineers perform minimal work all day while drawing full salaries and benefits.
Okay, but I did see this. I didn't put it in because I kind of hate the premise.
I want to hear it. Yeah, I want you to shoot it down. Are there ghost engineers out there?
I'm going to shoot it down as hard as right-wing founders get shot down. It's, I guess, a technically true statement in some way, but it's really not true, right? There's no real engineer that's out there saying, I don't want to do engineering. I want to sit in meetings all day. What is more true is there's so much bullshit in these big companies. You're sitting in DEI meetings. You're sitting in planning meetings. You're sitting in sprint meetings. You're sitting in spaghetti meetings, ramen meetings.
Yeah, you're right.
Gnocchi meetings.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
You got me. They're probably coding 1 hour a day, and if you do the math, you get close to a quarter, you know, less than a quarter of the time.
They probably love to be spending more time actually developing.
So again, here I go. Same thing with those colleges. Fire the administrators. Fire the PMs. Fire the asshole. This is where you don't. I gotta watch because now we have a uncut screen. Fire the consultants selling you methodology and process. You don't need it. Anybody who starts talking about, I hate process. In general, I hate process consultants. A little bit of process is good, but every time I've had a client bring in a process consultant, 6-9 months later, the client complains, our invoices are higher. Do you know why? Because we have to do a bunch of goddamn documentation for your invoices and paperwork. And guess what? I charge you for that.
It's work.
Gotta get rid of the process. It's work and it's wasteful. So And blaming the engineers is like blaming the McDonald's worker who's making, you know, $7 an hour when your milkshake doesn't work because there's that weird corrupt deal with the milkshake manufacturer, the milkshake machine company. It's nonsense. It's completely unfair. And it just goes to show you what a shill that all these colleges have become.
Well, you're clearly wrong, and it's a huge problem, and there's a brand new product that's going to solve it. We'll get to that.
Oh, I know. You'll hear it on The Verge or Recode soon.
Yeah, but first, I got to talk about this story. We are really in the thick of it with Google. They have two antitrust cases.
Yeah, it's full of sucks.
And it's full on bad. So one around the ad biz, one around Google Chrome and search. And the DOJ wrapped up their trial. Their lawyer from the DOJ called Google a 3x monopolist, saying that Google has rigged ad auctions and multiple parts of its services all over the internet to unfairly advantage itself in three separate markets.
Yep.
That they called them, quote, a predator, that publishers allegedly have no viable other options. They had a Fox News court person testify that they felt they were being held, quote, hostage because they risked losing $9 million in 2017 if they walked away from Google's ad platform. They recommend the separation of Chrome. The 80-year-old judge seemed to quickly grasp technical concepts, The Verge and Ars Technica wrote, and is expected to rule in the ad tech portion of the trial in the coming months. Then the Chrome situation's pretty bad for Google as well. There's talk of if Google doesn't properly follow their guidelines, the ramifications and repercussions and punishment will be that then Google has to spin out Android. Other remedies include prohibiting Google from offering money or contracts to companies like Apple or Samsung. They also want Google to ban preferencing its search across all of its own platforms like YouTube or Gemini. And they want Google to syndicate its search results, ranking signals, and U.S.-originated query data for 10 years. And that Google let websites opt out of AI overviews, which we said might be coming. They'll be back in federal court in April.
So there's a lot of sauce on this, but I don't think that much meat, right?
You know, you might be right. Like, all of this may really come down to maybe Google doesn't do those deals. Maybe Google has to, like, share a few things.
That's what it's going to... No, that's the big thing, right? This is lawyer bull. This is lawyer negotiating bull. Chrome and Android, here's what happens if they spin them out. You get a version of Chrome bought by some scummy private equity company, probably, that is loaded with ads and tracking and nobody uses eventually. And, Microsoft continues to fork Chromium.
Or best case scenario is Microsoft buys Chrome, and it just turns it all into Edge. Like, well, that's the best case, which is not a good scenario.
It's not clear that acquiring Chrome means acquiring Chromium.
Right, though. Right.
So let's assume that doesn't mean that, because the DOJ they're spending millions of dollars on this waste of time, didn't specify that. I'm assuming it doesn't mean that. So why wouldn't Google just be like, okay, sure, we'll take the money for someone to acquire it, and we're going to go ahead and fork Chromium ourselves. A thing that the DOJ didn't ask for in this judgment is to bar Google from making another browser. So what idiot would fight them? Hmm. Next, Android. I guess they're making money on Android. They must be, right? But again, it's an open source project, unless that means selling the open source version of it, which I think is closer to the truth than Android. They could just fork it again and call it Google Mobile OS or whatever. Yeah. I'm amazed that they didn't go after the alphabet structure, which is the clearest tax dodge and stock manipulation I've ever seen. But hey, whatever. The big one is, hey, you can't pay Apple $20 billion or whatever it is dollars to default your search engine. That's what this is really about. And the DOJ are not dummies. They put in all this other nonsense to say, well, we'll negotiate away these. The judge is not going to rule on this. This is going to be a negotiated consent decree. And frankly, I hope the DOJ learned its lesson from Facebook way back in 2012, where, okay, well, we'll have a monitor. That completely failed. They had to sue Facebook again. They got $5 billion. The man who ran the FCC, rather, at the time, looked like the dumbest man in America when he was bragging, crowing about the $5 billion fine. It's Mark Zuckerberg's, not even his bar tab, it's his bubble tea tab, boba tea tab. So, waste of time. Just tell them they can't make deals for default search engine. And by the way, this should have happened 10 years ago, because search engines, browsing websites, all that, it's going to be obsolete.
Agreed. plus one to all that, really. I don't really have much to add.
Also, vote for me in the 13th district as your Republican candidate in Florida.
Google said that the DOJ's proposal was staggering and will hurt consumers and America's global technical leadership.
Oh, yes, of course.
This is from sort of the end of Google's blog post. They write, quote, as just one example, DOJ's proposal would literally require us to install not one, but two separate choice screens before you could access Google search on a Pixel phone that you bought. And the design of those choice screens would have to be approved by a technical committee. And that's just a small part of it. We wish we were making this up.
So objectively false, because if this actually happened, Google would simply not make Pixel phones.
I wonder. That would be a wild ramification.
No, it wouldn't. The Pixel phone market share is pretty low.
Is small, and it's really more of a strategy play for the ecosystem to get that pure Google experience where all the Google's technology and apps are forefront.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm being too cynical, but to me, the big thing is the bribe to Apple.
Yeah, and Samsung and Mozilla.
Well, yeah, insert your phone menu, right? Insert your Dell, whatever. You can
which
insert
some
any.
Like Mozilla kind of lives off. I mean, there's people that. I mean, that's gonna make a big impact.
The funniest possible outcome is that the DOJ accidentally kills Mozilla.
We'll see. We'll see. I think out of all of this, Android would be the thing to spin off. If you
I
were
don't think Android's. I think the value in mobile OS is, unless your name is Apple, is not as high as it used to be.
Maybe. All right. Boost in. Tell us what you think. MCNTRL.com. Mission Control. That's MCNTRL.com. Eddie is a listener to the program, and he is the boss man over at Mission Control. And this week, he wanted to sponsor the show to let you know that you can get 10% off your first project when you mention Coder Radio. Now, Mission Control is based in the UK, and they work with clients throughout the world, from large companies to brand new startups. They're a 100% open source shop in the tools they use, including open source AI models, Flutter, and React mobile development. They build Flutter and React apps for companies big and small, including Fortune 500 companies, and of course, the startups that are just getting their very first project off the ground. And how cool is it that they listen to the Coder Radio program? They also love building prototypes of new ideas, whether it's maybe a new app or an AI idea. They'll build super fast and effectively. And they just love it. It's what they do. They're a super efficient shop. They're always around to chat about anything from apps to distros and open source because they're nerds and fans just like the rest of us. So drop them a line and mention Coder Radio, and that'll kick things off, get you in the door, and get you 10% off. So you start at mcntrl.com. That's Mission Control. mcntrl.com. And a big thank you to Mission Control for finally sponsoring the Coder Radio program. Great to have you guys on board. Check them out. MCNTRL.com. So it turns out that Niantic, the folks that make Pokemon Go, are building a world map. They say a, quote, large geospatial model that utilizes data collected from players to achieve, quote, spatial intelligence. It's opt-in, but they're essentially turning the game into a spatial image capture and GPS location capture. If you opt into this and they need more information about an area, they will spawn more Pokemon in that area to get you to go over there and collect the data they need. The company said it currently has 10 million scanned locations from around the world, and it gets about 1 million new scans each week.
So the surprise, when you sent me this, the thing that shocked me was I just assumed they were doing this.
I always kind of wondered too.
Yeah, I was like, of course, isn't that the reason they made Pokemon Go? Like,
I always thought it might be, but I thought maybe like navigational mapping, but they want to create an AR, a fully stitched together geospatial AR environment. But also, I guess, and they weren't really clear on this, but they have a blog post where they kind of go into some detail. They're feeding all of this into some kind of model.
Of course.
To build like an AI model that's geospatially aware. I don't know what that means, but...
Oh, man, I just assumed they were selling all this traffic there because you have to sign in, you make an account.
Yeah.
They have your age or your gender, all that, you know, basic identifiable information. I assumed they were selling it to the cops.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right. I
mean, and no one says they are, right? So.
Yeah, they're probably doing that too. Yeah.
Business.
Okay, so this was what I was hinting at earlier. This was raised on our sysadmin. It's a rant about someone who attended a sales pitch for employee monitoring software, and it's pretty fancy. So it's the standard stuff, full keylog and mouse movement tracking, regular desktop screenshots at 10-second to 5-minute intervals, plus tracking of program usage. But then on the back end, the AI system for management and whatnot will generate productivity graphs. It'll compare employees' activity, their typing speed, their mouse movements, program usage. It'll look at different groups of folks and compare them to each other. You can automatically have the system trigger management if there's a perceived inefficiency, such as someone's typing really slow or been really idle or seems to be keep tabbing over to the web browser and screwing around. And there also is a portal that you can link to employees when you notice this behavior and make them explain why they have a productivity gap, and then it'll analyze their answers as well.
Again, fire the managers.
Isn't this something?
I used to know a guy who, and I've talked about this before, who would literally, he ran like a small, I mean, he called it a marketing agency, but it was a dev shop, but because he was a marketing guy, he couldn't say that in his opinion. He used to track the commits. So guess what everybody who was either a contractor or you had like two guys full time, guess what everybody started?
Everything's a commit, buddy.
Hey, baby. Oh, spelling error. Let's see. Yep. Get commit. Hey, oh, fixed syntax error. Because he didn't know what the hell he was looking at. This is the same thing. I could write a Python script that just sits and does a bunch of bullshit activity on my computer, if that's how you're going to track me. And if I knew you were doing this, or of course I would, right? Because I'm assuming it breaks a number of laws if I don't. I would intentionally cheat time. Like if I was a W-2 employee, I would do this on purpose and then at noon go to the bar for 3 hours, come back, and just rob you blind. I mean, anybody who thinks this is a good idea should not only be terminated, but they should be psychologically evaluated.
Yeah, somebody on Reddit said, and I thought this was pretty funny, it was a resume generating event. This kind of thing. Yeah.
These are the idiots who follow Gary Vaynerchuk and think he's smart. He's not smart. He was really rich and really lucky, right? Like it's a waste of time.
Can I tell you how they close the sale? What like the sales pitch closes?
Oh, paranoid. Tell me, but I have an idea. Tell me.
So they tell like the management people that after it's collected all this information, it can then review and study and create A, workflow automation efficiency suggestions, or
to
B,
fire them anyway.
Yeah, or B, see if it can train a full-on automated replacement based on what it observes.
This is a good point for me to say, if you're interested in automation, I think you should check out alice.dev.
Alice.dev.
And not like abuse your employees, because, you know, things, that's a stupid plan. So, okay, their ultimate pitch is fire everybody.
I said, well, it's train off of them. And then after you're done training on them, then fire everybody.
Right. The ultimate pitch is eventually fire everybody.
Yeah, like, I guess so. Yeah.
I feel like, I mean, have any of these potential middle managers ever, first of all, you know who the easiest person to fire with an AI would be? It's got to be the middle manager, right?
Oh, probably.
Hey, let's think about the things your middle manager does in a day. And I know a lot of them listen to the show, and I love you guys who actually do your job the right way. There's a lot of bad ones, right? Where you're just managing a bunch of contractors. What do they do? Oh, let's see. Bitchy contractor in Florida. Doesn't send anything pissy to the client. Okay, let me see what he wants to send. I'm going to soften that. I'm going to vague that up because the client doesn't know what he wants. I don't want him to be nailed down because then this prick will say, oh, well, he said blue, you know, whatever. It's a bullshit job. You know what the middle manager's job is? And I'll quote my favorite podcaster, who I'm deeply unhappy with. They have a high EQ, emotional intelligence. They know how to make people like them. Yeah, and that's like not that valuable if you don't do face-to-face meetings.
So we'll see where this goes. I hope that enough people protest that this doesn't become common. If you're out there and you hear about stuff happening like this in your workspace.
No, I hope they do it.
Really?
Dude. I would love a bunch of dev shops to go bankrupt. In fact, not to be political, but I can't wait for the tariffs. You're US-based, but all your employees are in Eastern Europe? Oh, well, so Sounds like business. We should tariff. Paying them should be to 50% tariff.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, if anybody has this happen in their workplace, boost in and tell us about it. I want to put it on blast. While we are in AI Corner, just your quick reaction to the New York Times spending 150 hours going through of figuring out where OpenAI trained off their content, then got a legal subpoena to make OpenAI show their work. And oops, they seemed like they lost it all. OpenAI reports a, quote, glitch causing them to lose all of their training material from the New York Times. The New York Times lawyers stated that there's no evidence, and they suggest it was intentional. Oops.
I've ever heard.
Just deleted all that really important training data. Oops.
Do you remember when OJ wrote that book with a little if on the cover? If I, and then big yeah. red letters, I did it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. All right. So again, let's call things for what they are. Sam Altman just doesn't give it. He's just doing it, man. He's living my best life.
I think it's a game of attrition because they
don't have the money.
Yeah, the New York Times already stacked up $1 million in legal fees so far, and they've gotten nowhere.
He's gonna bankrupt. They're gonna have to settle because they can't afford.
Yep.
I'm not. I know you're not a fan of him, but there's something about the brazenness of his moves that is kind of like he's out Eloning Elon.
And then he gets away with it, too. It's so incredible.
Because he just doesn't, he keeps his mouth shut.
Yeah.
Right. Like, he doesn't go on Twitter and say, so I did some basic arithmetic here, and they can't afford to fight me. So I'm just going to mess with them until they eventually make the rational decision for their shareholders and give up.
Yeah, Elon would probably just quit and say that.
Elon would be like, ha, lol, kittens, I have more money than you. Ketamine is great.
Okay, then last but not least, speaking of the money, Amazon has doubled down on Anthropic, the Claude AI, and they just invested another $4 billion, four bangers. And along with this deal, it sounds like Anthropic will continue to use AWS's infrastructure and continue to build out Claude. $4 billion from Amazon going to Anthropic for a strategic cloud partnership with exclusive benefits. So they got friends with benefits relationship with Anthropic over there.
Ooh la la.
Yeah. So I guess Amazon, you know, their play is Anthropic. Microsoft's is OpenAI. Apple seems to be playing Google, OpenAI, and their own strat. They got like three. It's weird.
Apple's the really pretty girl at prom.
I guess so. At least it's got those pretty colors around the screen, right? I suppose.
47 boosts to go.
Now, we have a batch of great boosts, Mr. Dominic, and
oh God,
your buddy, the one, the only, in fact, I have a very special boost sound effect just for him, Mr. Turd Ferguson comes in with 98,000 sats.
Turd Ferguson!
First time coder booster, quick question. If you could roll back one technology to an older version, which would it be and why? So if you could roll back an old, that's a good question, it's a hard question. If you could roll back an older technology, and what would it be? What tech would you roll back? Phones? Computers?
Now, when we say roll back, do we mean I could wipe it out of existence, that it never happened?
I don't think so. I think roll back implies you could go back to a certain incarnation.
I see. So it has to be the same thing, but an older version.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's hard.
I mean, obviously, I would like to wipe Swift from the face of the earth.
Sure.
So I would have Thanos that in 2 seconds, but I can't do that. So let's see. I mean, I'd say macOS, but that's not true.
I have one.
Okay.
I wouldn't mind rolling cars back a bit and going
all cars, analog, right? Analog. I just paid a fortune to fix my car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I have a car that's in the shop right now, and this car 90% of the time the reason why it's in the shop is because a sensor failed.
Yes.
And then the one time something catastrophic failed, there was no sensor warning. There wasn't even a light on the dashboard that something got wrong. I just like had lost my, you know, rear end. My 4x4 stuff just broke, and my back wheels weren't spinning anymore, and like the metal was slamming around. No sensor picked that up. You know? So
no, you're right.
I would roll cars back and make them simpler. You know, it just really, really basic. Like that Toyota Hilux.
Well, where any mechanic could just fix the damn car and not be like, oh, we don't have the equipment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I I feel like that would be also beneficial in the EV world if we could roll EVs back so they weren't all like flat screens and touch unlock. And instead, we're actually just really basic cars that were really economical. Be great for a commuter. So that, or I see the chat room suggests rolling windows back to the XP7 era. That's not bad.
I have one, actually. The real world one.
All right.
So I have a couple Amazon Alexa, you know, that girl.
Yeah,
the lady.
The tube thing.
Yeah. It was great when you would hit the button and talk to it. But now that they can all just hear you, when I say the lady name, it never understands me. But when I say anything, like, I was listening to a podcast and there was a woman named Alexandra. Or no, her name was actually A-A-L-A, you know, the name, right? And it just kept going off. But when I talk to it, it doesn't get me. Now, that might be my thick Gator New York accent.
For me, the Apple one gets triggered by a lot of S names on TV.
Yep. My HomePod. But you know what? They will pry my HomePod. That's what I want rolled back, actually.
Yeah.
HomePod Mini, come on. Just give me a new, just keep making the old HomePod.
I like it. Yeah. So I got a few choices, but if I can only pick one, it'd be cars. But
I think if I can only pick one, it would be the HomePod.
All right, boost in and tell us out there, audience, what yours would be. And thank you, Turd. Nice to hear from you. A LUT booster coming over to the Coder program. Menno comes in with 20,000 sats. Loving the range of topics you guys cover. Keep up the great work. Well, thank you, and thank you for the boost. I like that nice. I like that name. I also like this next one. Slinky Toad comes in with 20,000 sats. We recently got a Quest 3 at work, and it's a ton of fun. So I'm looking at the possibility of getting one personally. For work, money wasn't an issue. So would you recommend, though, for home, the 3 or the 3S? What are the pros and cons? Thanks for everything you guys do. I own the 3. Which model? What's your latest Quest?
I just got a 3S, but I haven't personally used it.
Do you notice anything particularly different about it with the limited exposure you have had?
I think the battery might last a little longer.
For me, I would go with the 3S because there's a Black Friday sale right now, depending on when you're listening to this. Yeah. And you get like Batman Arkham Shadow, which is a great game.
Great game. That's my little usage.
You get $75 in credit on Amazon.com. So you're basically, it kind of works out to be about $150 in credit for Black Friday. I think you can get through Amazon too. So I think I'd get the S with these things. Every little bit of improvement helps. The 3 is really good, so I don't feel compelled to upgrade to an S, but if I were buying today, I think I'd get the S.
Yeah, I've never, it's a little hard because I've never used the Pro.
Yeah. I actually think the 3S might be a little bit better than the Pro, to tell you the truth. Some things the Pro is better at, but I think the 3S is actually a better device. Could be wrong on that, but I think it's worth checking. Good luck, Slinky Toad. Thanks for the boost. CB comes in with 3,333 sats. Real question here. Say I'm listening to the show after the fact, and I'm streaming 10 sats a minute. If I'm listening at twice the speed, does that mean I'm actually streaming 20 sats a minute, or am I shorting you guys by 5 sats a minute? I think it's the latter.
It's the latter, yeah.
Yeah, because it's just playtime. So
it's
if you're
the podcast player that tracks it, right?
Isn't Yeah, so if you're listening at 2x, it's, But that's okay. We're just glad you listen. Thank you for streaming and boosting, CB. Appreciate it. Biodrone comes in with a row of ducks, 2,222 sats. Mike's recommendation for poetry is strong. I've been using it in production for many years now, but I recently started using UV because it's written in Rust.
Hey, come on.
Time to clearly switch. Nicely done. Well executed on that one. Very impressed.
I don't even dislike Rust, but you guys are out of control.
That is pretty. It is. Yeah, it's everywhere now.
Do you know how you know if someone's an, God forbid someone is both an Arch and Rust user and you run into them at an event, they will literally start hyperventilating because they don't know which to tell you first.
Yeah.
Right.
I think the only one worse is those damn Nix users. The only one worse now.
It's just you, man. I never run into them.
I am programmed in multiple techniques.
Noob Steve comes in with 10,000 sats. Oh, and Levi says he just says boop. I think maybe he meant bark. Thank you, Levi.
Well done, Levi.
Yeah, thank you, Noob Steve. Nice to hear from you. BitCryptic came in with 2,048 sats. Some further food for thought on the issue of typos and demand squatting for repos. Along with some sort of key exchange signing, perhaps, there would be a job here for LLMs. Maybe a local micro language model. I'd be happy to help my local bot buddy to watch out for typing and spot errors. and then help them train. Yes, I know that's just a keylogger and it has a huge negative connotation, but maybe
the FBI is thrilled.
Yeah. Run it all through here, boys. It's for free. Yeah, I don't know. I was telling this on the live stream on Sunday, but I started playing around with the Zed editor just a little bit.
It's nice.
It is really nice, Mike. Yeah. And it's got built in like free chat GPT and free Claude credits and stuff. Mm-hmm. So you can just, and you can send your document right in there. And I mean, it's pretty nice. It works pretty well. So maybe one day. All right. And rounding us out this week, user 3468 comes in. You got to go set your username with a Spaceballs boost, 12,345 sats.
So the combination is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Longtime listener to all the shows, first time booster. Heck yeah!
Smoke if you got them.
Nice. Thank you for taking the time to set that up. I'm now all set up with Strike and Fountain, so expect more boost to come. Thank you guys for the great content. Thank you, user 34. If you go into your Fountain profile and set your username, boost back in and tell us to yours. It's nice to hear from you, though. Always like to hear from the long timers. All right, that wraps us up this week. Thank you, everybody who participates in the Value for Value system. The Coder Program really is here because of our listeners. You guys make it possible, and we really appreciate it. We had 22 of you stream sats as you listened, so we stacked 20,580 sats that way.
Cheddar.
Yeah, yeah. And then when you combine it with the boosters, we had 9 folks boosted, not a huge batch, but we managed to stack 189,639 sats. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate you. If you'd like to boost in, the easiest way these days is to just get Fountain FM, Strike. It's available in over 100 countries to get your sats, but you can use something like the Cash App or Bitcoin Well or whatever you like. Then just send them over to the Fountain app and start boosting away. We really appreciate it. A bunch of apps are available, though, at newpodcastapps.com. And thank you to our members out there, coder.show/membership. We appreciate you, too. Thank you for keeping us going, and I hope you enjoy your special features. So real quick here, Mike, before we get out of here, you found this article that DHH blogged about.
Oh, Lord.
And he's kind of coming at people for kind of wrapping themselves in this veneer of the need of ADHD medication. And he kind of comes away with it and says, if you want to pop pills and be super productive in the morning, just own it. I don't know. What did you think of this? It seems like he's really not having the ADHD explanation.
So I also... I'm also unqualified to really talk about this, right? But I would say that those kind of things, I think, are wildly overdiagnosed in children. And it's become like, oh my, like I hear people, adults like our age, say, oh, I was distracted. I was looking at my phone. I'm so ADHD. No, you're not. You're just kind of a jerk, right? You're just a little bit of an asshole. So, kind of like my irritation with certain very mainstream tech podcasts. Can we all just maybe stay a little bit in our lane? Like, we talk technology and business, which I grant you hits a little bit of politics. But I would never, ever think it was a good idea to come on here and start diagnosing or refuting diagnosis of other people or their children. I don't know what I feel like. I don't want to be too hard here because I love Rails and I think DHH's done a lot of good. But whatever weird... like, you know, thoughtful triangle guru crap he's trying to do right now is really turning me off.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, you're right. It does kind of, he's a guru now. He's got the long hair.
Well, he's trying. He's talking about, he's really using. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't, first of all, like, I don't think people should necessarily try to, like, criticize other people's diagnosis.
What do you think about his other sentiment, which is there's no shame in that game? He says, you know, if you want to take some pills and be a little more productive, own it. Don't pretend you have ADHD.
Okay, but let's replace pills with other things that are less... I don't even think the pills are really socially acceptable, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. You want to have a martini every morning at 8 o'clock in the morning and own it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, then you don't get the job, right? Like, when somebody looks at your blog and sees that. So I can we just stay in our lane a little bit? Not I'm not saying you are out of the
lane.
Yeah, him.
I'll tell you what does drive me crazy. The other one that's so people, oh, yeah, sorry, my ADHD or my ADD. And then you also hear people very often kind of casually say, oh, my OCD, you know, but they're not actually a...
Oh, like, but, like, the thing is, I like... I know people who have
really bad compulsive
problems,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like mental issues, or I don't know what you call them, psychological issues, whatever. And like the jackass saying that their kid who just like kind of likes to fidget is ADHD or autistic is just a lazy person who shouldn't be a parent.
Right? I think too, it like it's kind of like OCD and ADHD. It gets kind of glorified as these luxury problems, but
man, you got little kids. No. So my son has a friend who the teacher is insisting that this kid is autistic. This kid's not autistic. I see this kid all the time. This kid is bored.
Mm. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Bored.
My son had that problem
and
for a while.
And the teacher is 24 years old and she's a little lazy. That's the answer.
Yeah, early on, the school's teachers pushed pretty hard to get my son on ADHD medication.
They do it to most boys. This woman, according to this child's mother, said that, half the boys in the class are ADHD. Statistically impossible, right?
When I was in elementary and high school, I was like one of three kids that was on ADHD medication back then. I hated it. I hated it. It killed my appetite. It made it hard to sleep.
I knew a kid who was on it. He was depressed. They had to take him off because the effects were.
Yeah, they don't tell you this, but you have come downs too. As a kid, you don't even know what's happening to you. You just know that you got like cold sweats and a little bit of shakes, and you're not really sure what's going on. And they don't tell you that as a kid. That hey, by the way, this thing's going to have a come down. And by the way, if you're taking this and you're starting to get some feelings of euphoria, you need to let us know. Like, they don't tell you that stuff. And so then I got re-diagnosed as an adult, but I still opt not to be medicated for it because I actually don't really find it to be, it is bad in some ways, definitely. You know, certain ways of life gets organized or the way I handle certain, whatever it might be. I'm better now that I'm in my 40s, but early on, like, my bills would be a mess and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. I'm disorganized.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
I'm often, you know, if I get an idea, I want to do it, but does that make me ill? I've never in the 13 years we've been doing this thought you were incapacitated mentally.
No.
It never even occurred to me to think that, and I'm not saying that you are, but.
I mean, I probably am, but I may still get the job done.
Well, we're both psychopaths, but that's what we're talking about right now.
I think your point you made earlier that a lot of these guys go through this kind of transformation, and maybe this is DHH, maybe it isn't, but this sort of like. They try to get this triangle trifecta of brand. And then they become like this personality. Like a tech person becomes a personality through this transformation.
Yeah, but why does he look like a Norwegian wizard or something? Like, it's weird.
I mean,
there's
for
some
him, though.
Physical transformation that happens too.
Well, he looks healthy as hell. So, it's whatever.
No, he did. Well, money, I got to tell you. Money.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just what
you don't
want.
Think he's eating McDonald's every night or something. You don't.
No, he'll never be president. Before we get the hate mail, of course that there are kids who suffer from these things, and that it was underreported and that was bad, right? But there is no way that there is any classroom, like regular, random, you know, town school in America or really any other town, where 50% of the boys have that problem. If that were true and you ran that math forward, you would have a complete generation of dysfunctional people.
You keep talking like this and you're going to run the Department of Health or something. You be careful.
I'm pitching. They don't do background checks anymore, so I'm in. I just want to say, Jar Jar, Secretary of State. You're supposed.
I think Jar Jar would be great at that. I think it would. I think it would.
We're going to bum you.
Hey, before we go, we should mention that you launched a blog for Alice.
Alice has her own blog, and let me tell you, she's going to give me quite the tongue lashing after this show.
I bet.
Yeah. So it's all about. So I'm kind of trying to separate the Alice-y focused on the, you know, you're an aviation company, even though I don't publicly say that too much on the Alice stuff yet, or you're a construction company, which is what I'm pitching. The automation stuff is all going to go there. Personal blog is going to be the programming stuff, and the show is going to be what I'm sure some would call Chris's right-wing propaganda. So
awesome. Well, if you need any help with that, I could always just generate like a right-wing podcast now with AI.
Well, I was thinking we should just do a GoFundMe and we should just buy InfoWars.
Oh, that's an interesting idea. Yeah. again,
I'm kind of heavy
with things like Notebook LM and other tools. Like, dude, we just load it full of AI generated content, dynamic ads.
We don't need it. We don't need it.
We don't.
Here's the pitch.
Okay.
We chain me to a chair.
Okay. I like this so far.
We forced me to watch The Young Turks for like 10 hours straight.
Am I still rich and living tax-free in Florida?
Well, this is how you get rich.
Oh, okay.
And then you just hit the camera, hit play. I'm assuming you have a catheter so I can urinate and some sort of IV for fluid so I don't die during this process.
Maybe.
And I'm pretty sure I will be so enraged at that point that I think I could out Alex Jones, Alex Jones. Except my stuff would be based on reality.
This is why we have this soundbite.
Let's be honest, I can't be trusted. It's true. Although if I was the secretary of the Department of Education, things would change.
Well, so check out alice.dev/blog. Where else should they find you throughout the week?
Go to dominican.com, and I'm also on the Blue Sky for some reason.
Really?
Somebody suggested it. I hate it there. It's at Dumanuko there and on Twitter.
How wonderful for you. You can find me on the wild side, chrislas.com. That links to my Noster profile, if you can believe it, or Weapon X, chrislas over there. It's pretty simple because it's always the same thing. Links to what we talked about today, coder.show/597. While you're over there, you'll find our contact form, and of course, you'll find the RSS feed, and you'd even find a link to our live stream. We do the show live on Tuesdays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. Love to have you join us live. Don't forget about that membership sale. It's Black Friday to get 30% off the lifetime of your membership, which is the best deal we've ever done. And of course, we'd love it if you boosted in on the topics today and shared your thoughts. Thanks so much for joining us on this week's episode of the Coder Radio program, and we'll see you right back here next week.